done. Remember, every gift you make to WCNO is used to further the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in South Florida and is tax deductible according to IRS regulations. If you wish, you can pledge your support or make your donation by credit card right now by visiting us on the web at WCNO.com. Our goal is to raise $195,000 for the support of Christian radio broadcasting at WCNO. So begin now by praying for this ministry and join us for prayer and praise beginning Monday, April 6th on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Today in our study on labor to enter His presence, labor to enter His presence. We took a look at Abraham, we took a brief look at Peter, and how God had to deal with them where he started or where they started, how God had to deal with them till they were able truly to enter His presence, to fulfill their destiny. We also took a look at Moses and how Moses started out and how he ended up where God, just where God wanted him to be. If you go with me to Exodus chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 2. Take another look at the life of Moses and the process, the labor he had to enter into God's rest. Okay? Verse 11 of Exodus 2, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrew strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now understand here, when Moses acted, he was acting purely and straight out of his flesh. Though he had a call to be the deliverer, he still was acting out of his flesh. Okay? He was acting presumptuously, and I don't think there's any other way to put it than that he acted out of his flesh. Now, what we have to look at here, Moses didn't understand the cross, okay? And neither did he have a revelation from God. He just knew in himself that he was supposed to be the deliverer. You see, sometimes we too can act prematurely or presumptuously out of God's time, move before God, amen, as Moses did. And sometimes, you know, it's destined that that be part of the process. See, everything leading up to now, none of that stuff is really important, whether you were right or wrong, who did you wrong, who did you right, all that stuff brought you to now. Okay, so we don't live back there. So don't let the enemy cause you to live in the past. Amen. Today is a new day. It's a present. And so all those things, whether you felt like you were right or wrong, you know, you got to release people. You got to forgive. You got to forget. You got to let go of some stuff. Just do it. Amen. You have a grace to do it. If there be first a willing mind, it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you have. And you have grace to do that. Amen. Time out for allowing people in our past or people, amen, that seem like they're blocking our way to cause us to stumble or be snared. Amen. We don't even wrestle with people. Tell somebody, people are not the adversary. The adversary will use people, but you don't want to get caught up in a fight with people. Amen. Our weapons are not carnal, neither are our enemies. But Moses pursued this call after the flesh. He took upon himself to kill the Egyptian. Now that sounds kind of cool, you know, sounds nice. But he was all wrong. There was no cross and there was no revelation. See, we need to really gauge things that we do. Are you doing stuff out of the flesh? It's not passed through the cross, and you really have had no revelation. It's just what you call a good idea, not a God idea. You see, because a lot of us have done that. We've started on, and a lot of times that's why stuff don't work. God messes up your success because you're doing it without him. Look at the result with Moses. Moses went to do this, and you know, the average person would say, you know, this is cool. We you know, God is raising up us a leader, but he didn't know the cross and he had no revelation. He could have raised up a group of the, you know, of the slaves to rebel. You know, when such and such comes this way, you know, we're going to hide weapons. We're going to make weapons, and a group of us will attack them, and then we'll revolt. He could have did it that way, but that wasn't God's way. You see, an indication that he had no revelation and he had not gone through the cross, and we'll talk about this. You'll understand what I mean by going through the cross, is the fact that, number one, he couldn't stand the test. I always have some saved folk here tonight. The test, a lot of times, that you have failed or are failing is because perhaps you're doing it from your flesh. You see, a good idea is not necessarily a God idea. See, there's a whole lot of good stuff we can do. And as a matter of fact, the church in general, especially here in the West, has become more humanitarian than kingdom. I said it's become more humanitarian, more good works, more helping people than serving God. See, we're here to represent God, not represent the people to God. We're here to represent God to the people. How many know this is God's church? This ain't the people's church. Look at somebody, tell me, this ain't your church. This is the Lord's church. So it's like your house. If it's your house, you're going to have certain rules in your house. You know, you're not going to just let it be run any kind of way. Anybody, the people that come there aren't making the rules. You make the rules. You take somebody in off the street, you tell them, hey, listen, okay, long as you're here, no refrigerator after 9 o'clock. TV goes off at 11. Hello? You catch them in the refrigerator at 2 o'clock in the morning. You have to leave here. We're going to find you a job. I'll drop you off somewhere. You understand me? This is God's house. But the mindset of church is more humanitarian, just helping. Remember what Peter told the man at the gate, the lame man? He said, silver and gold have I none. And I'm of this persuasion that they were not broke. Some people think God's people got to be broke. No, what he said, what he was saying to the man, listen, the man had a can or tamarind or something he had there that he was getting money in. And he said, silver and gold have I none. In other words, silver and gold is not what you need. Come on. Silver and gold is not what you need, because if I give you silver and gold, then tomorrow you'll be here again. But he says, such as I have, give I unto you. He said, look on us. Grabbed him and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In other words, he didn't just give him a fish. He taught him how to fish. In other words, he gave him what he really needed. But see, the church today is just putting Band-Aids on stuff. Going into communities just feeding the poor rather than getting that community saved. The acid test was this. The manifestation that he was acting out of the flesh was that he could not stand the test. And you know you're in the flesh when it gets hot in the kitchen and you get out the kitchen. Number two, he killed. Now, think about it a minute. He killed a dude. You think, you know, somebody that's killing a dude means business. He killed, and then he rebuked his own brethren. The next day, he rebuked him. He killed, and he rebuked. And guess what? Moses, he appeared to be quite bold, but internally, he was weak. He killed a guy. He seemed strong. And to the untrained eye, he would have seemed strong. He rebuked his brothers. He killed an Egyptian. But when the test came, he ran for his life because internally he was weak. See, without going through the cross and without revelation from God, you don't have nothing to stand on. When the test comes, you out. People treat churches like that. You know, long as the preacher makes them happy, long as he's scratching those itching ears, Everything cool. Let them say something you don't like. No, I know that ain't y'all. That better not be y'all. I say something on purpose. But let them say something they don't like, or let them get offended. Then you don't see them. Now, there have been people like that. They have agendas. They have other things in mind. And when you come with the word, they get offended at you. And then walk away. What's all that? They might appear bold and strong externally, but there are no internal dynamics. Hello? See, gifts can fool you. Person can be gifted, you know, all kind of gifts externally. But the true test is when the pressure comes, when the adversity comes, when the challenge is there, when you face the giants, amen, when things ain't going your way, what then? If there's no internal strength, you ain't, I'm out, I'm through. You don't see them. They get sick. They leave. They quit. Moses ran for his life. Come on, you need to understand this, because you need to gauge what you're doing in the domain that you are to have dominion in. Are you operating in the flesh, or are you really moving by the Spirit of God? When you move by the Spirit of God, you got to wait on God sometimes. And sometimes you got to wait while stuff ain't going right, while people ain't treating you right, while stuff is bothering you. You got to pray through some stuff instead of acting. Hello. I'm going to help somebody here tonight. Come on, it's the truth. If you're going to have any kind of spiritual stature, there's a process. There's the making of a prince. And if you're truly going to go to war for God on the front lines, you got to be made. You can't be that proverbial chocolate soldier. As soon as you get warm, you go to melting. Bold testifying when everything's well, but as soon as opposition comes, no internal strength. Remember this, I believe it was just Sunday, of speaking of how the glory of God, you know, a lot of people try to contain God's presence and his glory in their personality or just in their mind. Now, those things have to be transformed, but you can't contain these things there. And a lot of people burn out. They get prideful. All kind of things happen because you can't contain it. It's not meant for you to contain it there. It's meant for you to contain it in your spirit. Internally, that internal man. In other words, it's got to be for real. See, a lot of people pretend. They're one way in church. They're one way, you know, when things are well. But as soon as they get out of church, they're a whole nother monster. Talking crazy to people, mistreating people, doing stuff deviantly. Hello? How come you can't be like you are right now? Some people like that. They Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. They leave church and they're totally different. Don't get along with people talking crazy, talking that. But when you get in church, hallelujah. Glory. Just as sweet as pie. See, something's wrong. Something's wrong on the inside. You're like Moses was. He appeared bold and strong, but when the test came, he couldn't handle it. We got to check you out to see if you're ready to go to war. I can't take you to war with me. Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 5 of the supernatural presence of the great I Am. Labor to enter his rest, part 2. The only surety of not failing is the presence of God. The only thing that assures victory is the presence of God deeply rooted in our heart. Judges 6, verse 17 and 18 say, "And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon asked God to tarry with him. Gideon understood the need for the tangible presence of God. The awesomeness of God should cause us to fear him and to reverence his presence. Our heart has to be saturated with the awesomeness of God. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.